what a great topic right around Valentine's Day, Jill. Tell us about what you're trying to convey here today.
Well, the book is called Sex Again, Recharging Your Libido. And as you mentioned, it's about how to get your groove back. And I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, Jack, but Americans have lost their groove, or a lot of Americans have lost their groove. The statistic is that 40 million adult Americans in couple relationships are not having sex. And a third of women say that they don't really care about sex or enjoy sex. And in fact, Americans are having less sex than ever before and less sex than people in other countries. So I wrote this book originally for my patients. I'm an acupuncturist in New York. This is my second book. My first book was about how to get pregnant, so similar kind of topic. And I wrote this for my patients, and I designed a six-week program based on ancient Chinese medicine, 2,000-year-old Taoist texts, to help people rekindle their libido.
Now, are you truly the fertility goddess, as it says here?
Well, you know what? I think the New York Times once called me the fertility goddess. I don't call myself a fertility goddess. But I, my first book was called Making Babies, and I have helped many couples using Chinese medicine to get pregnant. And it is a specialty of mine at the Unova Center where I work at, in New York. I deal with sexual and reproductive health. And so I do treat a lot of infertile couples and couples who are trying to get pregnant, but I also treat a lot of couples who've lost their path, so to speak, when it comes to sex.
Well, now, Jill, certainly after writing a book like that and now coming out with this second book, can acupuncture help us in the second book?
Well, yes, acupuncture can. This book isn't really about acupuncture in some ways. I used the Taoist philosophy to give people tools that they could do themselves at home. But yes, I use acupuncture every day in my practice to balance hormones. A lot of sexual problems are hormonal, and to move energy, which sounds a little bit airy-fairy, but really what it means is we get very pressure cookery and tight, and our muscles get tight, and we don't feel our sexual energy. It doesn't move in our bodies. And just loosening all that off, and acupuncture is great for that, is a really great way of reconnecting to our sexuality.
I need to ask you, Jill Blakewelly, what country are you from? Did you say you're from England or Australia?
I'm from England originally. I've been in America for 20 years, though. I'm married to an American. So I think I've taken root here, but I'm originally from England.
And so tell us, as we're trying to get our groove back, everyone apparently is here in America, those numbers to me sound sort of low.
Yes. You mean that there's a lot of people not having sex?
Right.
Yeah. I think it's surprising. And I think the reason it's surprising is that because we live in one of the most sexualized cultures there's ever been. We're bombarded with sexual imagery. If we, you know, watch the telly or movies or look at the internet, we'd think that everybody was having amazing sex, really. But the truth is that I think a lot of that makes us fall short a little bit. My patients tell me they don't feel sexy. Like, Joe, I just don't, you know, they worry about, I don't know, their cellulite or their muffin top or their little jiggly bit under their arm or something like that. And they don't feel like they measure up to a lot of the imagery they see in the press. And I think that's part of it. And I think the other thing is that we're tired. We're a nation of stressed out, tired people. And regularly I have conversations with patients where they say to me, Jill, by the time I get my kids to bed, I am exhausted. I don't even think about sex. And then people tell me, you know, I'm so stressed that I can't focus. You know, you have to have your head in the game to have good sex. You have to actually be present. And then, you know, people say, I'm doing my to-do list for tomorrow and worrying about things that happened today, and I just can't focus. So I think it is surprising. But in reality, when you think of people's real lives, it's not quite as surprising.
Jill Blakewelly is our guest today on The Conversation, talking about how to get the groove back. You know, as I listen to you talk about your book, I'm kind of agreeing with you as to, you know, we're all tired. We all got other things on our minds. And maybe sometimes we think we may not be able to perform as well as we would hope, or we would hope that our mate would want us to.
I think that's part of it. And certainly in the book, we have a six-week program. It's called the Sex in Six program. And it's meant to help you rekindle your sex drive. And we start with exercises that are about you, not about your partner, exercises to build up sexual energy in yourself. There's lots of tips. There's things to do. There's little specific tips if you have sexual problems towards the end of the book for specific sexual problems. But it starts with building up sexual energy in yourself and then learning how to connect share that energy with other people. And I think one of the problems is that people forget that it's important or think that maybe it isn't. But I do think that your sexual connection with your partner is very bonding and is a deep and intimate connection that you shouldn't really let go.
Now, we're in reading your book, you're saying rekindling these relationships, you take some personal assessments, you take some quizzes, trying some specific exercises and committing to this program. Is it working for your patients? And if so, how so?
Yes, I actually based this program on stuff that did work for my patients. When I went to look for answers for my patients, I looked at these 2,000-year-old Taoist texts about sex, which some of which were only found in a temple in China in the 1970s, these ancient sex manuals. And they were remarkably useful, I think, because funnily enough, sex just hasn't changed that much. Everything else has changed a lot, but sex really hasn't changed at all in 2,000 years. So I put together this program, and I road-tested it with my patients. I have a lady at the moment doing it who's 78. She's doing it with her husband, and I have a young couple, newly married, doing it, and they're in their 20s. And people love this program. It's not scary. It's not asking people to do really athletic or strange things. It's a you know, pretty straightforward program to recharge your sex drive.
We want to hear some of your tips too, but let me ask you this question before we get to our next segment, Jill. Does food or drink have anything to do with increasing the libido?
Well, food does, in so much as being healthy and eating healthy helps you have a healthy libido. There's lots of talk of, aphrodisiacs and things like that. And I don't think there is really one particular aphrodisiac food. But many of the foods that, you know, are sort of the myths, the foods that are reputed to enhance your sex life, do have nutrients in them that are helpful to you know, resurrect a dwindling sex drive. So oysters, for instance, are very famous. And they are high in zinc. So they are known to boost libido. Chili peppers, people always talk about that. Well, they do increase circulation, and good circulation, getting the blood pumping and stimulating nerve endings, is more likely to enhance your sex drive. Avocados are said to be, an aphrodisiac. And I don't think eating tons of avocados will really rev up your sex drive, but they are full of vitamin E, and that does help your body make hormones. So food is important. It's not the most vital thing. Drink is important in so much as drinking too much alcohol is a real libido killer, and I see that quite a lot in my practice.
Well, now I know what to go to get at the grocery store.
And chocolate, it's coming up to Valentine's Day, chocolate. That has a chemical in it that makes you feel good in the same way that sex does, so that's definitely worth getting someone. Actually, in the book, we have two chocolate exercises. We have a chocolate meditation where you put chocolate in your mouth and let it dissolve, and it's meant to help you reconnect to the sensual aspects of staying in your body. You just notice what it feels like to have the chocolate dissolve. And we have a chocolate kiss where you pass it backwards and forwards with your partner.
Jill Blakeway is our author on The Conversation today. In a moment, we're going to find out more about those ideas in her book here on The Conversation. We're back with Jill Blakeway. Well, Jill, you were just talking about these chocolates, passing chocolates between two friends, two partners, man, wife. Tell us how that works.
Well, that's our chocolate kiss, and it's in the book I have a whole chapter on kissing, and I do say at the beginning of the chapter, if you don't read any other chapter, please read the chapter on kissing, because I think kissing is one of the first things that goes in a relationship. And my patients will tell me, I forget to kiss my husband. I come in, I kiss the dog, and then I give my husband a peck on the cheek or something like that. So in Sex Again, we say kiss your partner for, say, longer than it takes to sneeze, because it's important. Kissing decreases levels of cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and increases oxytocin, which is your bonding hormone. So chemically speaking, it induces relaxation and it builds connection. It's a good thing.
We're talking about getting your groove on today with author Jill Blakeway. Jill, what are these 10 tips that you list here? I'm looking at it. Just do it. Breathe in, breathe out. Can you go through the list for our listeners today?
I can. Just Do It was a tip that came from the book. I began to say to my patients, they always had reasons why they couldn't have sex. You know, they were waiting to lose weight, or when they were less cross with their husband or something. And finally I said, look, I don't want to sound like a sneaker commercial, but, you know, you're just going to have to do it. Sometimes it works to just get back into your body and out of your head, and the more sex you have, the more sex you want sometimes. So that was Just Do It. And then Breathe In, Breathe Out was because a deep breath sends chi, or, you know, essential energy, all the way down to your pelvic area. And so learning how to breathe very purposefully keeps you in your body, and being able to stay in your body means that you enjoy sex more.
And your next one is keep your head in the game. You addressed that in the earlier, in the first segment of the program.
I think it's very important. It's particularly important for women, but it's also important for men. You know, enjoying sex and being able to have sexual pleasure requires you to stay present and in the moment. If you're thinking about tomorrow or worrying about yesterday, it's actually very hard to enjoy sex. And so we have lots of exercises in Sex and Gain to sort of teach you so that you practice keeping your head in the game and staying focused.
Number 4 and 5 on your list, to get the groove back is to 4, have a quickie, and 5, start kissing again.
Yes, well, I just talked about kissing, and I think it's really important. And having a quickie just came because my patients would tell me, oh, my goodness, Jill, I can't find time to have sex. I put the kids to bed, and I'm exhausted, and, you know, there's no time. And I said, you know, sometimes if all you do is have a quickie, then you need to mix it up a little bit. But sometimes a quickie is just fine, and it's a way of connecting. And then my patients would tell me, you know, Jill, I had a quickie this morning, and I felt more connected to my husband all day. I felt affectionate about him and warm towards him, and that was kind of my point there.
As we move on Jill's list here, massage, do a loop, add a squeeze, different strokes, and change position. I'm going to let you, could you please address those?
I can. I have a whole chapter on massage in the book, and some massages in the 6-week program. And really, I put them in because sexual pleasure depends on energy moving in your body and energy moving between you and someone else. And massage is a great way of moving energy, and it's a lovely form of foreplay that's gentle and affectionate and intimate and giving. And so we put some partner massages in there. And the loop comes from one of those 2,000-year-old Taoist texts I was talking about earlier on in this segment. The loop is an exercise where you circulate sexual energy in your own body, and we teach you to do that, and then you learn to circulate it with someone else. And people who get good at it start to experience sex as a much more whole body experience rather than focused. And then we add a little squeeze to that loop, which is like a little Kegel exercise, so that it concentrates all that sexual energy you're generating in your pelvic area. And it takes a little bit of practice, so we do it all the way through the 6-week program. But when you get good at it, it really does improve your sex life. As do the other two things you mentioned, which are different strokes, which is really the Taoists had all sorts of different variables for throwing into the mix when you were having sex. And I put them in the book because I think that people get bored and run out of ideas, and I wanted to give people some options. And that's why I put some positions in as well, Jack. They're actually the ancient Taoist positions. They come from a very old text. There's nothing new under the sun, of course. I left the original names, which are kind of fun. They're called things like the cicada and mandarin ducks joined. But it was to give people some inspiration to try something new.
Our author friend today is Jill Blakely. I want to thank you for taking time. So as I'm listening to you talk today, do women share their sex stories with other women? Because I know men don't.
Yes, I think women do. I think women do talk about sex. And certainly, I'm a practitioner, and I help women with their sex lives, so certainly women talk to me about sex all the time. There's a big variation of what's normal, which is completely fine. But a lot of women are wanting to have sex again.
Well, and again, I don't know if you can answer the male quotient of that question. Why can't or why should men talk about sex to each other?
I think men do talk about sex, but I think they talk about it in ways that are about comparing their prowess and things like that. I don't think I think it feels vulnerable for men to talk about their worries about sex or ways that they feel like they're falling short, whereas I think women share that with other women much easier.
And does your book help men to get past that?
Yes, there is a guy's section at the end of every chapter written by my husband, Noah Rubenstein, which gives a guy's point of view and is very frank and has been really, really useful. Women read it to find out what guys think, and guys read it for the guy's take.
Give us the name of the book again, could you please?
It's Sex Again, Recharging Your Libido. It has a website, www.sexagainprogram.com, and you can sign up on that website to do the six-week program for free online. You'll get an email every day from me.
Jill Hathaway, we really appreciate your time, and thanks for all these tips. I know that it's going to help us in the audience today.
Thank you.
Very good.